Well, hello, and welcome to this episode of The Voice of the Underdog, the podcast that explores the relationship between challenger branding and company culture. I'm Mike Sullivan, joined, as always, by my good friend and co-author, Mr. Michael Tuggle.
Hey, hey.
How you doing?
I'm great.
And in this episode, we're going to be talking about the role that encouragement plays in building a great culture. And if giving encouragement is so easy, why are so many woefully lacking?
That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about where some of our most important encouragements have come from over the years, yours and mine.
Yep.
And we'll talk about how encouragement can be a serious catalyst for challenger brands. And we'll also talk a little bit about how to incorporate more encouragement into your company, which is just sort of a cornerstone for good culture.
Absolutely.
And we'll extend that into your family, into your life. Plus, we're going to have a great conversation with James Brown. He is the founder of Encourage X. He has a very impressive background before he got to Encourage X. But the platform is one that helps companies and individuals do a better job of encouraging the people around them. Encourage X is transforming companies, hospitals, college campuses, you name it.
Can't wait to talk to him.
Yeah, just an impressive guy with an impressive platform. This is the Voice of the Underdog podcast. We hope you'll join us.
This episode of the Voice of the Underdog is sponsored by Kendall Creative, branding storytellers committed to providing creative design solutions that reach hearts and provoke minds. For more information, visit them at kendallcreative.com.
Welcome back to this episode of the Voice of the Underdog podcast, episode 7. I cannot believe that we're at the end of the year already.
It got here really fast.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. And so in December, this is our November episode. In December, we're going to be dropping our Best of 21 episode. So if you missed any of our discussions this year, that will be a great way to catch up and hear some of the really inspiring stories from the guests we've talked about on the Voice of the Underdog.
Yeah.
And there have been many of them, and we're going to talk to another one today. I know that.
Absolutely.
So we're going to be talking with James Brown, as I mentioned, about encouragement. It's a very simple concept, yet it's lacking in many companies and families for all kinds of reasons. We're going to talk about that. So, Tug, as we kick off our discussion, you know, share some of your thoughts on encouragement. Are we overstating its importance?
I don't think so. I think encouragement, as human beings, is just a natural thing that we all need.
Yep.
And I think we probably don't get enough of it, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whether it was our upbringing. You know, some of us had super encouraging parents. Some of us had parents that was just sort of anathema to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my grandfather, I remember my mom talking about growing up. My grandfather was a very stoic, you know, old school kind of guy.
It's a generational thing.
You know, I love you was not thrown around. Encouragement was not thrown around. Great guy. He was a nice guy. He provided for his family. A lot of positives, but just the encouragement was not really, you know, as part of his playbook.
MO. Yeah.
And so thankfully my parents were very encouraging. But yeah, I think back to, you think back through your life, you know, encouragement, there's the attaboys, right?
Yeah.
And that stuff is good, but I think it comes in.
We're not talking about superficial encouragement.
No.
Like,
no.
Hey, good job. Kudos to you. That's nothing wrong with that for sure. We're talking a little more thoughtful encouragement.
Yeah. I mean, I think back to the one that always sticks out to me the most because of what I do for a living as a writer. When I was in third grade, my teacher, Mrs. Pope, was unbelievably encouraging. Here's little 8-year-old Michael who's writing stories and poetry and whatever. And it's like, you know, it could have been like, yeah, go out and play.
Right.
She encouraged me literally. I mean, I remember her encouragement of, you're a really good writer. You're very creative.
Yep.
You should, you know, keep doing this. You know, she didn't think I was going to be a journalist or an advertising writer, but she said, keep doing it. You know, it's you're enjoying it. You're good at it. Keep going.
You know, what's interesting about that, and our guest coming up is going to talk about the people who are influential in his life early on. Fascinating story. But that's so true. And I was also encouraged by a teacher in, I guess Mrs. Lapatina, you know, in the fifth grade around my own writing. And I certainly wasn't getting any encouragement from the math teacher, you know, the sciences teacher. They had nothing for me. But It meant the world to me, and it made me feel good. I wasn't the best student. You know, ADD will do that to you. But wow, you know, just that consistent, constant encouragement from her at that tender age made a huge difference.
Yeah, and it's funny what sticks with you, because she encouraged me. I'm eight years old.
Yeah.
And then the rest of my life up through really graduate school, I had sort of drifted away from creativity. I mean, I always did stuff that was creative, but not like a focus. And then I'm in grad school. I'm firmly heading down the path of account service and media and strategy and whatever. And when I got to Georgia, I had to take creative classes because my undergrad didn't have anything of advertising. So I sort of had to take the base curriculum. And I'm in the creative class. And one of my classmates who's doing her PhD, she's like, "You're pretty good at that. Have you thought about doing the creative side?" And from all those years back, this echo of, "You should do that. You could you're a writer. That encouragement from her, and all of a sudden it was like, huh. And that's where I've gone. And then it's just, I mean, my life has been so much more full because I do something that I love. And it was all based on the encouragement. I'll go back. Okay, I'll give you an example.
Let me just stop you there real quick. Yeah. Wow, what a miss it would have been for you if you had pursued account work. Nothing against account work. That's where I started. But man, you're as prolific a writer and conceptual of mind as I know. And I'm just sort of running through that scenario in my head.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's no sort of mystery why you are. It aligns with really who you are, what you do well. You know, you are a writer and you've always been a writer. So just getting that encouragement allowed you to line up.
Yeah. And I think you're right. That the alignment part is huge. I'll give you another example. I go back to my grandfather. Again, great guy, but not super encouraging. My uncle grew up, when he was growing up, he wanted to be an architect, which is clearly more creative. My grandfather was an engineer.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was like, that's a little soft, a little, you know, whatever, to be an architect. It's a little creative. Yeah. He didn't really get it. So he's like, "No, you need to be a business major." So my uncle did that. He ended up being a estate planner, life insurance, that kind of thing. Incredibly successful. Had a long career. Everything you can do in the industry. I think there was something maybe missing and unfulfilled. So he retires at 65, 66 or whatever. He's 80 now. He started painting. He's painted 450 paintings.
You're kidding me.
In like 10 years, like 15 years. And they're beautiful. And he's got this gift for it. What if he had started with the creativity and leaned into it a little bit and not been sort of, "Well, maybe you shouldn't do that." You know, it's like,
That's interesting too, that whole idea around creativity. And of course, we're in a creative services industry. That's what we do all day long, and we live and breathe this stuff. But so many people don't think they're creative because they haven't been encouraged.
Right.
Maybe they've been discouraged, which I think is just such a terrible injustice. But, when we quit on ourselves or when we stop doing something, I've read it's like that's the worst injustice we can do to ourselves. And discouragement operates that way. On the flip side, encouragement is just so nourishing and so essential for, anything good to grow. It's the fertilizer, really.
Yeah. Well, I think when you get into companies, things get so black and white. You know, it's like, you have this division of labor.
Yeah.
You can't let everybody just do everything because then nothing gets done. So you have this division of labor, but at the same time, it's like, you stay in your lane.
Yeah.
It's like, it's got to be a little more open 100%. Than that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You can see where discouragement shows up easily enough, and it's easy to kind of dive into that. So I'll stay away. But, on the encouragement side of it, even in our own organization, I encourage everybody, I don't care if you're media, account service, productive, whatever you are creative. Mm-hmm. You found this business for a reason. You know, we need your creativity. And I love it when that shows up. I think that this industry has done such a disservice to itself, by assigning, one group of people to the creative department.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, when clients hire us, we are a creative services agency, all of you, and people are. It just requires the proper encouragement.
I think it's just opening that door.
Yeah.
Right? And believing that you can do that. It's just a different mindset of how you think.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're right. You can absolutely be creative. That doesn't mean that you have to go learn Photoshop and do the designs and all that.
That's not
what I mean. It's just anybody in our business ought to be a thinker.
That's right.
ought to be just constantly grinding on what are my clients' problems that need to be solved and finding creative ways to solve them.
And what they knew they really need for that sort of creative energy to take root and to express itself that way is just obviously encouragement, as we've been talking about. So yeah. I can't think of a single downside to encouragement. Can you?
No. I mean, not really.
Well, okay. So in extreme cases, or I suppose encouraging somebody in a way that that's malicious encouragement. If you're encouraging somebody in a way that you know is not going to work out for them, like, hey, you can be an astronaut, but you lack this critical trait for that, whatever that might be.
Well, I think that goes back to what you were talking about different types of encouragement.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, my dad, I remember growing up, my dad's lesson to me was you can be anything you want to be, but the corollary, thing to that was as long as you're willing to pay the price for it.
Mm-hmm.
His thing was you can do anything, but there is a price to be paid for it. There is an effort. There is a time investment. There is a practice. There's all these things. You can do anything as long as you're willing to pay the price for it. That was the thing. And so it was, you can do anything is a little blank encouragement and attaboy.
That's the superficiality.
It's
like dig deeper. Well, why can I do anything? Or how can I do anything? And I think that sort of broad platform type of encouragement is less effective than a specific, hey, you're a really solid writer, and this poetry, you ought to enter a competition. And while that essay, I mean, that's very specific.
Yeah. But I think that's where it becomes meaningful to
me. Right. Hits the ground.
Is when you make it personal.
Yeah.
There's an intimacy to the knowledge as a friend, a friendship or whatever, or a relationship from father to son or employees or whatever. When you have that more intimate friendship or intimate relationship, and it becomes more personal, and it becomes more. It's more. It's not an attaboy.
You know. So encouragement. It's not an attaboy. Encouragement signals something much deeper and more important, and that is that you care for me authentically. I was just sort of reflecting as you're talking about that on early work experiences and how encouraging was I to competitive AEs on other. It's. When I am getting that encouragement, I know that you are my fan, that you're here for me. And those sorts of relationships, they're too few, folks who are absolutely our fans. And to show up as a sort of a consistent encourager over time I think it can have a profound impact on somebody. I know it has for me.
Sure. I think when you have friends that care enough, that's the thing. I mean, This idea of encouragement, to me, encouragement and thoughtfulness kind of go hand in hand. But same thing, we think about things, but we don't do anything.
We don't
there's
say
not
it.
That action.
It's the or the doing.
And when you have friends that care enough, not just to think it, but to actually follow through and say it.
Yep.
It's a whole different thing. I mean, and we all need it. We all want it. It's kind of the golden rule, right? You do unto others.
Yeah.
The golden rule is in every type of theology there is on the planet. Mm. There is a version of the golden rule in there.
Mm.
It is so fundamental of, doing to others as you'd have them do unto you, right? We need the encouragement.
Yeah.
And as much as we need it, guess what? The people that you are friends with also need it. The people that you manage also need it. Your wives, your children, it's fundamental to who we are. Not because, I just need a pat on the back. It's just, it's a feeling that I'm included. It's a feeling that I'm accepted.
Yeah.
People are thinking about me. They care about me.
It's
they love me.
It's love. It really is. It's how you love somebody. You encourage them. So, what's really encouraging is that we've got somebody like James Brown, who has actually created a platform to help make this easier and more doable for individuals. So I'm looking forward to talking with him. Do you have anything else that you want to share on encouragement before he?
No, I think it's just, encouragement, it really is a catalyst for action, I think.
Yep.
It's when you encourage somebody, you have no idea what effect that's going to have. You know,
it's like you talk about the butterfly effect, right?
Yeah, I love the notion of the butterfly effect. You know, scientifically, it's this, you know, butterfly flaps its wings over here and there's a storm in Asia. But there's another application for that with people that you just don't know. Yeah. When you encourage somebody, when you say, hey, you know, I believe in you, I love you, whatever, you don't know what that's going to do to somebody and what doors that's going to open for
you. You know, so quick story. I've got a great friend, a doctor friend, and I won't use his name because it might embarrass him, but he was telling me that he was sitting at lunch the other day with his wife, and he's been practicing for 30 years, and a woman came up to him, and she was very familiar with him, and said, oh my gosh, you know, doctor, look at me. Can you believe this? And he didn't remember, because this was a patient from probably, 10 or 15 years ago. He has lots of patients. But he had been the one physician who consistently encouraged her with respect to her weight challenges and gave her all the advice and guidance, but kept encouraging her. Even, and, you know, 20 years later, she remembers that and said, You changed my life. You know, it was just gushing, you know, over the, and he did, probably saved it, you know, given her situation. But those, just that constant encouragement, you know, over the course of time is powerful.
And I think that's it. It's the constancy. It is that consistency that you can do. And that's what I love so much about what James has created with EncourageX, is it's a platform that literally lets you do that. It's as simple as literally, I've started sending them to my daughter. It's like literally it takes 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You type up a quick note. You have their information in there. You can add a picture if you want to, whatever. And then you can literally schedule it to go anytime. You want to send it a month from now, fine. You can write up 20 of them, and they'll ship out every 2 weeks.
Such a smart idea. It really is. It really is. EncourageX. So coming up next, we're going to talk to James. Definitely consider everything that we've just sort of run down through. And, you know, James decided to do something about it. He's developed a platform, as Michael just mentioned, a website called EncourageX, EncourageX.com. It's designed to help all of us get better at encouraging. And boy, we sure do need more of that in the world. So we're talking to James next, and you won't want to miss it here on The Voice of the Underdog. James Brown, welcome to the Voice of the Underdog podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, we've had the pleasure to get to know you a bit, thanks to our friend Corey Stagner, who you've known longer than we have, I think, all the way back to high school. Is that right?
That's exactly right. I was a senior and she was a freshman.
Yeah. Well, thank you to Corey for sure here. So to get us started, will you tell our listeners a little bit about your background, James?
Oh, for sure. I spent most of my adolescence in the Chicago area before moving to Springfield, Missouri, where I went to Kickapoo High School. Had the opportunity to attend Notre Dame for undergrad. Worked for some large companies like Dow Chemical, General Electric, Kraft. Did my MBA at Kellogg in Chicago, and have worked in marketing, sales, and strategy for the last 30 years. Again, mostly in large corporations, and now working on a personal venture, which is starting to become more corporate in focus, called EncourageX. It's a platform focused on encouraging the people you care about in a very personal, authentic, and consistent way, with the primary objective of building happy, healthy, and resilient relationships.
That's awesome. What a needed and cool thing you're doing.
Yep.
James, when did you decide to sort of make the shift from marketing to becoming the country's chief encouragement officer?
I think it was probably 2016 in earnest that I decided that this was something I should pursue. I've been thinking about it ever since I was a teenager in Springfield, Missouri. But it was when the energy markets took a significant downturn in 2016. I had a long conversation with my president and CEO and decided that it was probably the best time I was ever going to get in my life to really pursue this venture that I felt had an opportunity to impact lives as well as be a significant income revenue driving force in a marketplace that was very dislocated. And honestly, the world really needed to have a kinder, gentler, more focused effort on people being in a better position to encourage the people that they really care about.
Amen.
So 2016 was probably the time I decided to finally put my brain and focus on trying to bring this platform to life. And within a few months, I realized that this thing really had wings and legs to fly and to start running pretty strong.
You know, James, you mentioned just quickly there that you hearkened back to your high school years, you know, significant events. And of course, we opened with your relationship with Corey. What were the significant moments of encouragement in your own life that informed sort of how and why you've built Encourage X?
Yeah, I think probably the most seminal moment was that decision that my parents made to move to Springfield, Missouri. I had about 4 months left in my eighth grade year. I actually requested if I could stay for my eighth grade graduation. My dad was very military in his mindset, and he basically said, look, we all moved together. I'm going to go down and start being the branch manager for Pennzoil. I'll be back in 2 months. We'll load up on a Friday. You'll start school on Monday with 2 months left, and you'll get a little taste of what it's like to be in Springfield, Missouri. It was a bit shocking for a 13-year-old.
Yeah, no doubt. Big change.
Yeah, but with that decision, I wound up loading up on that Friday, driving 14 hours with my parents, and found myself sitting in Cherokee Junior High School that Monday morning with my guidance counselor, waiting for my student ambassador to show up to take me around for the day. And this young man shows up wearing a 10-gallon cowboy hat, cowboy boots, and the most illuminating silver belt buckle I'd ever seen in my life.
Nice. One at the rodeo, no doubt.
Yeah. And first words out of his mouth were, Hi, I'm Doug Pitt. I'm going to be taking you around as your student ambassador today. And then he said, you're not from around here, are you? I think he could tell that I was wearing horn-rimmed glasses, penny loafers, and carrying a leather briefcase, wearing a necktie as well. And it really felt like culture shock. But fast forward to, you know, through the summer and into my freshman year, I got a chance to meet some of my classmates and went out for the football team. Wasn't the most popular person in school. Clearly, I hadn't been there very long, but I started to meet a few people, and I can remember the first 2 weeks of freshman year, there were three junior high schools that had come together to form the freshman class at Kickapoo High School. And one of my classmates, another 13-year-old, Tracy George, looks back at me during homeroom and says, you should run. And I said, I'm sorry, what do you run for? What? What are you talking about? Like, there's just an announcement on the loudspeaker about freshman class elections. I think you should run for president. And I thought to myself, I have no idea why this blonde hair, blue eyed classmate of mine that I don't really know that well is asking me, suggesting that I run for the class president. But for some reason, as the day moved on, I started thinking, well, I don't know, maybe I should consider stepping out and take a little bit more risk and consider some student government. At dinner that night, my parents were asking me how my day went, and I told them I was considering running for freshman class president. And before I could get the word president out, my mother said, deadpan, those kids aren't going to vote for you. She said, you don't look like them. You don't talk like them. You're not from Missouri. You're not from Springfield. This is just a very good idea. Just, you know, kind of shocking to hear basically telling you not to do something, and someone else is suggesting that you should. And my dad said, you know, your mom may have a point, but at the end of the day, it's up to you. But you may want to slow your roll a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I went back to school the next day. Tracy George is waiting for me outside of homeroom, and she's already taken a trip into the future. And to me, we've got to get your petition signed, get you signed up, and start thinking about, you know, how you're going to win this election. And I said, you know, Tracy, I'm not sure if I want to do this. She was like, why not? And I gave her a little bit of the cliff notes on the conversation. And she looked at me and very calmly said, I think I understand why you may have some hesitation. But before you make your final decision, I want you to consider three things. And just so you know, Tracy George is now one of the assistant chancellors at Vanderbilt University. She's also an attorney and a dean in law school. And at 30, I felt like I was getting lawyered, right? And
yeah.
She said, number one, your mother is wrong.
Wow.
Number two, I'll be your campaign manager. And number three, you're going to win.
Wow.
And Michael, for me, it was, you know, one of those moments where you felt the full stop support of another human being believing in you before you really believed in yourself. And quite honestly, it really changed the trajectory of my career, what I thought was possible, what I thought was fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Had at least one person believe in you is an incredibly powerful experience. And you know, just to fast forward in the future, when I was considering running for student body president, Tracy was right there saying, you have to do this. When I applied for Notre Dame, my parents said, I don't think you're going to get in. It was Tracy saying, you'd be out of your mind not to apply to Notre Dame. The same thing when I applied for graduate school. She's always been one of those people that was a fan, a cheerleader, and always uber supportive of the potential that God had put inside of me. And so it's just an amazing experience that I've always believed as I've grown up that everyone needs to have a Tracy.
Yeah, right on. Yeah. And, you know, what's incredible about that story is not only the story itself and the fact that Tracy was 13 at the time that she, you know, sort of encouraged you in this way, but also, obviously, the fact that you remembered that, reflected on that, didn't let that get by you, and have built this extraordinary platform based on really that early experience. And could you tell us a little bit, for those who aren't familiar with the platform, can you explain how EncourageX works?
Yeah, it's pretty simple, at least the design of and the intention is, if you have someone you care about and you want to encourage them because that relationship is important to you, whether it's personal or professional, the platform allows you to put in a few variables that are critical to that relationship as well as the goals you have for the relationship. So things like, what is your role in the relationship? Is it a manager to employee? Is it father to son? Is it son to mother? Is it coach? Whatever the relationship may be. You then also put in variables related to that person's preferences for all types of things, including music and some demographic information, so that the algorithm that we've custom designed allows you to get recommendations on how you can encourage that person not just once, but several times over the course of weeks, months, even years, depending upon what the life event topics and situations may be. And then you select from one of four categories: words and phrases you can use to encourage them, audio, video content, gifts, and goodwill. And my favorite personally is the fourth category, which is called events and experiences. Everything from acts of service, some of the love language philosophy is imbued within that idea. Even questions you can ask during conversations to really help that person be seen, heard, validated, and reinforced and supported in ways that, again, make them feel like they have a Tracy that's there to support them, even if the world seems upside down and totally against them. you can be that one person that's always there to be supportive.
That's so great. I love it.
I love it.
Yep. James, back when you were at, you know, companies like Shell and Dow, when you were helping lead those companies, did you have a feeling then that a focus on encouragement was missing in some way?
Yeah, absolutely. I think of the 25 managers that I've worked for over the last 30 years, I think three of them I would put into what we call encouragers. The other 22 were either passive or consciously aggressively trying to not help you.
Yeah, we've all experienced some of that in the corporate world, for sure.
That's just the truth. And so, you know, when I had managers, folks like Tim Thornton, folks like Dave Dunlap, those folks made all the difference in the world in me to really putting forth not only my discretionary effort, but me acting like an owner, right, versus a renter when it came to building my career. There's really something amazing that happens when you feel like someone is really supporting you, someone that is in position to, at the very least, provide a little bit of grease as you're trying to you know, get your career on track and online. It allows you to feel like you've got an extra set of wings.
Yeah, for sure.
That's so important.
A lot of the challenges. And I would say that I've been on the other side of that, where I felt like I have not been in a position to encourage as much as I'd like to. In particular, when I've had women that have worked as leaders on my team, there's been moments where I just didn't feel like I was empathetic enough to understand some of the challenges of working moms and all the things that they go through. And so if you look at our content on platform for the open or the free side of the platform, we are very heavy on relationships and topics that are focused on women that are working outside the home. We have a lot of content focused on African-American and other demographics where, for a lot of managers, they just may not have a good understanding through their own experiences. We just don't want that to be a limitation. Just because you haven't gone through it doesn't mean you can't be a best-in-class encourager.
I love how it helps people be intentional about it.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
You have thoughts a lot of times about, oh, I should do this more, or I, you know, but you don't. But then you don't do anything about it. It's like,
sometimes I think we do it more than we do it.
Right. Right.
You know.
Right. I mean,
yeah.
I go back to your Tracy story. It's like, it was incredible that somebody she had just met, she had this feeling about you, and she would say that, you know, may offer some encouragement. Oh, you should run. And that could have been it, right? It could have been just being friendly. But she was so intentional and consistent with it. She's like, showed up the next morning. She's like, no, we're doing this.
Yeah,
you don't know it yet, but we're doing this, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. And I'll go one step further to say that, you know, even as we look at the divorce rates in this country, usually when people start out, there's, you know, lots of hope, lots of excitement. But what a lot of the data will tell you is that there's usually one person's trying harder than the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Or both people are trying less hard before they got married. It's very rare that both are trying harder after their nuptials.
There's some brutal honesty for you.
The interesting part of what we're starting to get feedback on from folks that are using it to encourage their significant other, whether it be husband, wife, spouse, whatever gender, you know, how people associate, even, you know, people that they're dating. A lot of folks are saying, yeah, I'm rediscovering my partner in ways that some of those microaggressions that we find ourselves slipping into, we're starting to replace those with micro encouragements.
That's fantastic.
You have to understand, for me, it's truly online with, you know, the vision and the mission.
Yep.
Is that if you have good intentions, we help you to translate those into meaningful and appropriate encouragement experiences. A lot of us find ourselves slipping into the habit of saying and doing things we saw on TV the night before. Like, it may have been hilarious on Friends or Seinfeld, but when it comes to trying to build a happy, healthy, and resilient relationship, sometimes we need to actually get better content, right? And ways of, of finding the way to be and do things that are truly encouraging. And that's what we're all about. And the facts are, as I start working with companies like Comcast, Vanderbilt University Medical Center, HEB, and BMW, some of our key accounts that are starting to use the platform to encourage on over 3,000 topics related to their employee base, personal and professional. We have managers and leaders starting to say, you know, I really didn't have an idea how much I've been listening, but I haven't really been hearing. And now I have a different set of ears because I know that I have this tool behind me that can help me to be the manager that I would like to be instead of what I've, you know, maybe experienced first part of my career or what I've seen on TV. This is a very different way that's allowing me to be the person that I would like to work for.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, I know you, I mean, I love the application for personal relationships for sure. And you mentioned, you know, that you'd worked with some of these bigger companies like Vandy and HEB and things like that. Are there any success stories that stick out on more of the corporate side for you about how companies have helped transform themselves and done a better job with their employees?
Or how individuals have used it? Exactly.
Yeah, there's a couple of stories. Some of my favorites are actually at Comcast. I won't share the names just for a privacy perspective, but some of the deployments have helped managers, leaders of leaders actually address some issues with supervisors that are great, technically competent leaders, but when it comes to dealing with their employees, either they grew up in an environment culturally but didn't really spend a lot of time encouraging on the personal or professional side, or they just don't see it as part of their core job. One in particular that always resonates with me is we're working with a team of managers, and we noticed that of the 10 pilot team members, one of them had just not scheduled any encouragements, you know, during the first 6 weeks of deployment. And it's a conversation about, you know, is there something wrong with the technology? It's like, no, it's just haven't had time. And before I knew it, this had turned into a very internal meeting where he was being challenged with great energy from his peers about he just hadn't done his job. And I started feeling kind of uncomfortable because we're supposed to be the encouragement company.
Right. Hey, why haven't you been encouraging?
So I kind of got the look from the director to kind of step back and let him take over the meeting, which he did with great brilliance. He started to ask a series of questions about, you know, what was the holdup? And, you know, in the middle of this, I'll call it an intervention, you start to see this employee start to get, you know, a little uncomfortable. And his face started turning red, and he actually started getting the shaky lip as he was trying to express himself.
And it's very uncomfortable.
I remember the manager saying, hey, just talk to us for a second, like, what's going on? And he said, look, I apologize. I haven't done my job here because it's something I don't feel that comfortable doing. So in my culture, and I would just say it was a culture outside of United States, per se. He said, we just don't do a lot of this because I'm really struggling at home and at work with trying to get to know people. He said, my wife, who is not from my culture, said that, you know, the kids are asking, does daddy really love us? Because he never says it. And he started to cry a little bit. And I'm thinking, oh my God, this is just, it's crazy how this is a whole person experience. This is not a work thing. Long story short, the director said, hey, we're going to get you some help. We got you. We're going to support you. And assigned one of the more senior leaders to work with him. And what was amazing is the next 10 weeks, you started seeing this manager encouraging employees. And there were two metrics that really shined really bright for this young manager, is that his employee net promoter score, or ENPS, went up about 9 points. It was the highest increase in the region that quarter. And then also qualitatively or anecdotally, when the director met with his people, he asked, you know, how things were going. He said, you know, this guy started sending us these encouragement notes, and we had no idea this guy even had a heart, you know, to speak of. It's like all of a sudden, you know, he's starting to do things. Like I don't know where he got this idea, but it's really breaking down walls to help us. And so that's one story. The other quick one is that as we looked at the topics that were being sourced to encourage, we identified over 125 topics. Half of them were custom curated for the company. The other were general topics. And then there were a couple topics focused on employees that were experiencing racism as African-Americans. And so we, at the request of HR, were able to drill down into some of the data to find out, you know, where this was happening. They were able to put together a tiger team and go in and have an intervention to see what was going on. And three of the five were happening at work. The other two were outside of work. But they came back and said, hey, look, you know, the interesting thing about Encourage X is that it's for really good managers that are encouraging, it allows them to do more encouraging. And for managers that don't do a lot of encouraging, it's kind of a training tool. They said, in this case, we're identifying on these three situations at work, you know, over $1 million apiece for each of these situations that EncourageX essentially helped us to minimize that risk. That this thing could have really blown up because we're able to intervene quicker and build a track record through the manager trying to encourage them on the situation. It really allowed us to land a team to help mitigate these issues in a way that we have never experienced before. So it's real.
Real value.
Let someone know that you care. And I'll say it this way. You know, when people wake up in the morning, they don't wake up as an employee. They wake up as a human being.
That's right.
And if you can meet them as a human being at work, it's amazing what people will do. They'll actually act like human beings instead of acting like
people that
are, you know, the Lord of the Flies, if you will, just trying to cut people down.
Well, what a couple of great stories. And the first one, too, the way the director handled that situation, the way you described it, I sort of picture it in my head, but how skillful. And it tells you everything you know about that individual and the corporation, A, that they'd be doing this work in the first place, and B, that they've got leadership in place that has obviously worked on and taken seriously the development of their own leadership, their own communication. What a profound impact on the culture.
Yeah, what also made me think too, how often do we just make the inference that, well, my leader, my manager, they don't care about me, they don't want to encourage me, whatever, and it may just be they don't know how to do it.
That's right, and that's the second story, which is really interesting, and I thought that's where you might be going, James, as you were talking about the reluctance to offer encouragement. Yeah, very often it is cultural, either a larger culture or even familial. You know, so in my family culture, I wasn't encouraged growing up, for instance. And so this doesn't feel comfortable or familiar to me. And, you know, it's extra difficult. And so that, you know, that leads me to a question. So what do you think it is? And you alluded to it a little bit, but is there more there? You know, what keeps people, especially in a professional environment, from offering encouragement?
I think it's fear. I think it's the one word answer. I think it's fear.
Yeah, right. Look, on. People, of course it
people
is.
People are afraid to be vulnerable. I know Brene Brown, who actually is on our platform now through a couple of collections with some of our thought leaders, but that ability to be vulnerable in a way that you want to show kindness. Sometimes kindness can be viewed as a weakness.
Yeah.
And, you know, I grew up in a household where I had a mother telling me, you know, people aren't going to vote for you. She was more resigned to try to protect me from, you know, potential embarrassment versus trying to do something that could change my life. My dad grew up in a household where there wasn't a father around. All of his parenting he learned from, you know, different relationships my grandmother had with different men over the years, and what he learned on the street. And so my dad's most frequent encouragement phrase when I wasn't proficient at something that he thought I should be, he would routinely say that I wasn't worth a quarter.
Mm, wow.
As a way to motivate. And man, I got to tell you, to be 6 years old and be told you're not worth, you know, a quarter.
Hard to process.
That's a tough one. I don't care what color you are. I don't care if you're male or female. That's a hard note to respond to. And I think challenging folks is really important, but you want to challenge based upon all the learning we've done with our psychologist, Dr. Joel Wong, is you want to challenge people in a way that leaves them whole, that leaves them empowered and feeling like they can do it. And if they need help, that you're there to help coach them. So there's lots of ways to do it. I just don't think belittling people is a way, which I see a lot of managers doing. Even when you watch, you know, Monday Night Football, you see a coach is yelling at a player. So now you're thinking, got to be a better way to lead people.
Yeah, no doubt. I love what you said. So your chief psychologist said you want to challenge them in a way that I think you said leaves them whole, hopeful, and feeling like they can do it. Run that through again, James. That's very interesting, because I do think, you know, when we have to offer critical feedback, boy, I see it just done so terribly. But that sounds like a really wise nugget. I'd love you to just dive into that just a little more.
Yeah, for sure. So the idea is to leave the human being whole. You know, you don't want that interaction to remove some of the possibility in the relationship. So you always want to get back to 100.
Yeah.
And when people say and do things that are either unforgivable in the minds of the recipient or are personal attacks that are more focused on the other person's insecurity, it removes some of the possibility.
Yeah, it does. I love that.
And when you are challenging people, it is important to, one of my sayings is, be hard on the problem, but soft on the people. Hard on the problem, soft on the people. So you get really focused on the goal, give people everything that they possibly need. And if they're not able to achieve it, then it's actually an easier conversation to counsel through. And if it gets to the point where it's just a bad fit, it's a much easier conversation on counseling out. And I do have a couple clients that have used EncourageX to basically try to encourage someone who they think is not going to make it. It's made the exit on a few of those cases to be much more graceful, leaves the brand more intact. And the ones are able to actually say in a way that they're able to respond to the challenge. It's a great story for everyone.
Boy, isn't it?
But you can't do that if you are telling someone they're not worth a quarter. That's hard to come back from.
Yeah, that just feels like tearing down. Yeah. Yeah, right on. Well, so, you know, when you talk about encouragement, you talk about using this tool, it seems like it is almost oriented towards sort of habit formation. You've got to get into it. You've got to practice this like you practice anything worthwhile.
Right.
So do you think that people can form a habit for encouragement, James, or is that
I think it's essential. We talk about really three things on EncourageX. We want you to be personal, which is about the recipient. We want you to be authentic, which is about the encourager. And you want to be consistent. So personal, authentic, and consistent. Consistency, to me, is a huge part of the practice, as you mentioned, that allows you to go from a Hallmark holiday kind of experience of one and done versus sending three or four or five encouragements to someone over a period of time to make that person feel and realize, oh, this is different. This person is actually still thinking about me beyond the initial conversation or the following month after discussion, checking in on you to make sure that, I call it kind of that old Louisiana style approach of, I'm just checking in on you in a way that makes people feel like they can count on you. And I always say that, you know, the best time to start encouraging someone is before they need it.
Yeah,
so that
I
you
love
have
that.
Built that baseline of relationship that you can truly build on. The habit for me is, you know, a lot of times companies will focus on having a really strong reward and recognition program. And I think those programs are great for celebrating at the end of some type of success, whether it be, you know, employee of the month or you know, employee of the year, or most valuable player, whatever it may be. The challenge for me is that's only a small percentage of your team or your employee base, whereas 80% of your employees need a little encouragement on the way.
Yeah,
that recognition and reward, and you can get, you know, a significant number of people, not everybody, but you can get a significant number of people unstuck or on their way to considering bigger things, just like Tracy did for me. I can't imagine had she not suggested that, I would not have run for office. I would have not applied to Notre Dame. I would have never applied for graduate school. That little puff of air in my sails to help me get moving and stop the inertia. I mean, I'll just say it this way, that blonde-haired, blue-eyed classmate of mine who had no reason to provide that encouragement, she basically changed the life. There's no telling what I would have wound up finding myself into, but that little voice saying, you can do it, for me, meant everything.
Well, I love that. And the whole idea of consistency, too, that's really important here. So what I've heard you say is that encouragement is not an event. It's not just an award once a year. It's a practice.
Yes.
And it seems like, as opposed to just a one-off, like, hey, I got a kind of a kudos there or a nice job here, it's, wow, I've got a real fan in this person. Even if we're not, I mean, this person really cares about how I am in the world. And you're right, James, that there's nothing that feels better than just a buddy call and say, hey, doing all right? What's up with you? You know, really, though, if they just checking in.
Yeah. One of my favorite stories I heard of late was, there's a guy talking about this idea of being a fan. I think he called it being fantas. And his example focused on the Chicago Bulls, Phil Jackson and Michael Jordan. And he was asking Michael Jordan questions about what was the difference, you know, before Phil Jackson and after Phil Jackson. And Michael talked about his skill as a coach and the triangle offense. He said, but the one thing that really seemed to make a difference, he said, it's going to sound, you know, fairly innocuous, but, you know, I'd walk into the locker room and I had these little notes hanging from my locker from Phil Jackson. Hmm. He said, sometimes it was a quote. Sometimes it was a philosophy. He said, sometimes they were just really quirky. He said, but it was the consistency of getting these notes from him that really kind of stuck with me, that, you know, this guy is not showing up just for the paycheck. He's doing something beyond the call. And the guy that was giving this talk said, you know, I have to tell you, if the world's greatest athlete needs a little encouragement along the way as well, then I guess we all do, right? We all need to feel like someone cares about us, that is willing to take the time to do things. And as you said, it's a practice and a habit that we can all develop. It is not necessarily something we're born with. I think someone like Tracy may have had parents that did this more regularly. And I experienced that in their household. You could feel like night and day in our household. It was part of her DNA, but you can learn it, as Tracy did, and as I've learned it, and I try to pass it along to my daughter and to my wife. And, you know, she's 12 years old now, starting to deal with some mean girls and all the things of adolescence, of trying to manage through. And I'm encouraging her the best I can. It's a different experience for me, so I'm using the platform to do that. Even the questions that I'm asking her as she's going through it, and helping her build that resilience to no matter what happens, she can fight through it. But it's a combination of challenge, encouragement, but always leaving her whole to let her know that she's going to win. In fact, I just this morning I sent her DJ Khaled's "All I Do Is Win" on our way to school, just so she can remember that you're going to win. And I'm here to help you. I'm your secret weapon to help you get to where you want to get to.
I'm stealing that. I'm going to send that to my daughter right after we get off our talk here.
I love the consistency. I love the legacy of all of this. You know, Mike and I, in our book and on this podcast, we focus a lot on culture and this idea of building, you know, extraordinary cultures that are going to last. And consistency plays such a huge role in that. And as we've been talking, you know, encouragement is so important, I think, in building those lasting kinds of cultures. What would you say to that?
You know, I say that it is the core of every company. We talk about building a culture of encouragement. And, you know, I've experienced, I'm sure what you all have experienced, sometimes one bad apple can ruin a bunch. It can be devastating to a culture.
Yep.
And there's a lot of research out now saying that you need to give people permission to be kind. And sometimes, you know, one person can destroy all of that work. So you've got to be very mindful of making sure that you have the confidence and the courage to weed out those bad apples when they happen, because the thing is, you may have one or two high performers, but if they happen to be bad apples, you're going to sacrifice those other eight that could also be fantastic and still be collaborating, working well together. And I have made mistakes over my 30-year career of letting those situations let those bad apples sit too long, and it starts to contaminate the entire
place.
I'm much faster now to focus on building that culture of encouragement and hire in a way that really facilitates attracting those type of personalities.
Yeah, I think that's one of the hardest things to do in leadership roles is really, you know, meet those sort of things out and correct them. Sometimes it might be a super high achieving salesperson who's just a terror in the office. You know, and from a leadership standpoint, you know, tolerating those sorts of things just signals all the stuff that isn't going to be productive. But as a leader, like, that's why I was so impressed with the story with the gentleman who was having trouble offering encouragement. The way the leader in that room, the director, showed up, you know, that makes all the – it's got to start at the leadership level, I think. So James, you know, EncourageX is all about building happy, healthy, resilient relationships. We need a lot more of this in the world. What is next for EncourageX? I mean, where would you like the company to be in 2022? And maybe what's sort of your big vision? What would you love to see happen?
Yeah, so, you know, I never really thought the corporate piece was going to be the early adoption aspect of things. So kind of looking at in the traditional startup mindset, you're looking for those early adopters. It's turned out that we're starting to get strong signals with some of these companies. In fact, Google recently reached out and said they're ready to get much more serious about their private collection or the white label experience. I think that, you know, one of the combinations of corporate, charity, and community is kind of the triangle that we use as we start to really scale. And it's funny, we have this little campaign that just started last month that it features a profile of an individual, and it's called "If You Encourage Me." We talk about 10 little bullet points that if you encourage that person as a child or even as a current adult, the things that they're able to achieve. And I think it's creating a bit of a viral quotient for us, for people to realize that, you know, all the things you can be doing in your relationships, whether you're looking at the love languages, whether you are rewarding people, one of the really basic things that is really the main entree of the meal that you want to serve, as a metaphor, encouragement really is the entree. It's the main thing you can be doing.
Yep.
To really build a really nutritious experience for both people. We always talk about encouragement is the best nourishment for a happy, healthy, and resilient relationship. It's one of the things that we tend not to use as much as we should. And it's right there. We just have to, again, to your point, it has to become a habit.
Yeah.
It has to be top of mind. It has to be authentic, personal, and consistent. And our goal is to make it, you know, super easy for folks to do that. And to answer your question more directly, our goal is to become the undisputed leader in encouraging the people you care about. It's really simple.
What a great vision. I love that. Gosh, James, I mean, I think I could sit here and talk with you about this for another hour, but you've been so generous with your time. You're doing work that obviously aligns with your personal purpose, you know, what is important to you in the world. It's exciting work, uplifting, and man, it is just important, I think, now more than ever so. So I just want to thank you for the opportunity. It's encouragex.com. And we'll throw that URL out again. But boy, I sure encourage folks to go out and take a look at that. It's very impressive.
It's great. I've been sending them to my daughter, and she's loving them.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, fantastic. She loves them.
Yeah, fantastic. I'm getting on the program.
My daughter is the CEO in training for EncourageX, and she has a new collection coming out called Bright Star. It's encouragement for teens and tweens.
Love it.
Yeah, and so for that group in particular, especially dealing with the pandemic and all of the learning,
that's the antidote to Instagram when you're talking about tweens and what they're seeing on social media. This is absolutely, I love it, James. Thank you so much. Really appreciate the time today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure, and have an encouraging day.
Thanks. Appreciate the time.
Well, that's it for this episode of the Voice of the Underdog podcast. We hope you feel it was time well spent and that you enjoyed the discussion. If you'd like to know more about Challenger branding and how you can build an extraordinary company culture, order a copy of the Voice of the Underdog, How Challenger Brands Create Distinction by Thinking Culture First at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. And certainly go spend some time at EncourageX.com. Everybody needs a little encouragement, like we've been talking about. And with EncourageX, you can write personal encouragements or use some of the curated encouragements already on the site. Big thanks to our guest, James Brown, for his time and insights. Thanks to Luminous Sound Studios for hosting us. Don't miss our next episode coming soon, when we'll look back at all of our favorite interviews from the past year. For my co-author, Mike Sullivan, I'm Michael Tuggle. Thanks for joining us. This is the Voice of the Underdog.